Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. I want to talk about the indwelling of the Spirit, which is the evidence that we belong to God. The indwelling of the Spirit of God, which is the evidence that we belong to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for a place to worship. Thank you for people to worship with. And thank you for the person we are worshiping. We have come this morning to pay our praise and our honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who arose this day victorious over death, hell, and the grave, who become the first fruits of many more fruits to come in resurrection. God, we thank you for something to praise about, something to rejoice about, and He is Christ. So help us to magnify you and to honor you and to worship you this morning. Speak to us through your word. I pray, God, that you would empower it, that it would not be just words on a page, it would not be just words traveling through the air. God, it would have power. It would change our hearts and change our lives. God, that you would use them for your glory, for your honor. Save that one that is closest to hell. Reclaim that one that has strayed away. Draw us all closer to you. We'll thank you for that in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Be much in prayer for Ken Peterman. He's receiving a pacemaker tomorrow morning. Is that right? So pray for him as he receives that pacemaker to get his heart back in proper rhythm. In his honor, because I know he's here in spirit, I'll tell you this joke. Do you know what you call somebody without a body and without a nose? Nobody knows. Amen? Folks, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Verse 1. We're going to go back and read 1 through 11 just to make sure we catch the entirety of what we've been talking about here and this privilege of being found innocent and under no condemnation. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And that's God's word, and all God's people said. Amen. You'll notice in verse number 9, Paul moves from addressing his readers in third person to addressing them in second person, you. It's not just a grammatical change, it's a theological change. He has just been describing those who are in the flesh, those who live according to their sinful nature, mind the things of that nature, are enemies of God, hostile toward God, refusing to submit to the law of God. And he says they are dead in their sins and trespasses, and they cannot please God. In verse 9, we have this wonderful conjunction, but ye, you, are not in the flesh. Talking to those who are professing believers. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. We were in the flesh. No longer are we in the flesh, for we have been saved by God. We are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. And it is by the miraculous work of God that we have been given faith to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. So I want to say three things to those who are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Those who belong to God, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what does the presence of the Spirit mean for those who are indwelt by Him? Let me give you three things this morning. Number one, the presence of the Spirit of God indicates there is genuine salvation. The presence of the Spirit, or the indwelling of the Spirit in the believer, indicates genuine salvation. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So you're in the Spirit and not in the flesh, if this is true, this condition is true, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And just to make his point, he says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, how do you prove something's yours? If something's yours, you own something, it belongs to you. How do you prove that? Well, if a car belongs to you, you should have a what? You should have a title that proves it's yours. If you own a house or you own land, then you should have a deed. If you bought it at the store, you paid for it, you took it home, you should have a receipt. You're so good this morning. Or, of course, if you don't have a title or you don't have a deed or you don't have a receipt for it, possession is 9/10 of the law. So I know a car is mine because I have a title. The land is mine, or house is mine because I have a deed. Stuff is mine because I have a receipt, or maybe I don't have a receipt, but I have it in my possession. Now here's the question, how do you know that you really belong to God? I mean, really know. Paul says, you really know that you belong to God because the Spirit of God indwells you. That's how you know you're His. Not that you're doing religious stuff. Not that you make some profession of faith, not because you have a baptismal certificate or that you have a church membership. You know that you belong to God if the Holy Spirit indwells you. Now, what Paul is going to argue in this text is that the essential way that we know that we are not in the flesh but in the Spirit is that the Spirit of God indwells us. If you are in the Spirit is in you. So that's an important thing to remember. When we say that we are in the Spirit, That also means the Spirit is in you. If the Spirit's not in you, you're not in the Spirit. Say amen. Now this is really important, so I want you to listen. If I were to ask you what happened to you at the moment of your conversion, when you came to know the Lord through His work of conviction and faith and repentance, what happened to you at the moment of that conversion? Well, you might say, well, my sins were forgiven. All of them. All my past sins, all my present sins, all my future sins were forgiven of me. You might say, well, I now will go to heaven with God and be with God when I die. You might say, the guilt that so burdened me down has been removed. And all of those are true. The moment we were saved, the moment we came to know Christ, the moment we were born again, all of our sins were forgiven. We now had a new home called heaven, and the guilt that burdened us had been removed. But when we answer that question, we tend to emphasize, or we tend to not emphasize, what Paul emphasizes here in the text. When we are saved, when we are converted, when we are born again, we are moved from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the Spirit. And we rarely talk about that. We move from being in the flesh to being in the Spirit. We move from having not the Spirit to having the indwelling of the Spirit. We who were alien and strangers to God now belong to Him. That's what happened when I got saved. He paid for me. He bought me. I'm His. And you know that you belong to God because the Spirit of God now has come to live permanently in your heart. It doesn't matter what you say, what you profess. It doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. Does the Spirit of God live in you? There's no assurance in a verbal profession. There's no assurance, there's certainly no assurance in your completing a list of do's and don'ts. There's no assurance in having assurance. You can only have assurance if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And those who do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are not His. So what does it mean to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Does He just hang out in us and sort of, He's our silent partner? No, He's not silent. To have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit means that the Spirit of God that indwells us controls us. Say amen. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be controlled by substances, be controlled by the Spirit of God. So every believer that has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is being controlled by the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit has changed their minds, has changed their desires, and has ultimately changed their actions. So, what do you think the Holy Spirit does when we entertain those things that are not pleasing to God? Does He just look the other way? What does He do? He convicts us. Say amen. Have you all ever been under conviction? You ever done something wrong and the Holy Spirit start convicting you? It's not a pleasant place. Say amen. But the Holy Spirit doesn't, if He's in us, He doesn't just turn a blind eye to our sinfulness. He convicts us if it is displeasing to God. I'm not talking about our conscience. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. That will keep you awake at night till you get things fixed. Say amen. Who won't let you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, but that will move you toward the offending party or the party that you offended, and you get things right, and you can't sleep till you do. What do you think the Holy Spirit does when we are confronted with truth? Do you think He allows us to ignore it? No, He convinces us that it is true, and He works in us to be willing to obey it. Say amen. One of the problems I have is that people tend to hear the Word of God and just simply go out the door and ignore it. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't let you ignore the truth of the Word of God. Say amen. He will convince you that it is true, and He will give you the willingness to obey it. Or if you hear falsehoods, the Holy Spirit will convince you, that ain't right. That's not true. How do you think the Holy Spirit, or what the Holy Spirit will do when you hear truth, the truth of Christ proclaimed? That you hear that Christ died for you, that Christ sacrificed His life for you, that Christ bled for you, that Christ was raised for you. What do you think that does? What do you think the Holy Spirit does? He just sits there and says, no, He causes you to rejoice in that. Say amen. You see, everything changes when we are moved from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the Spirit. That's what happened when we were saved. He moved us from flesh to Spirit. And the Spirit of God indwells the believer and produces spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The Spirit of God moves in and He is in control. He is in control. He's not controlled. You must be something if you're controlling God. The Spirit works this radical change in the believer. And the believer, to go back in previous verses, the believer no longer minds the things of the flesh, but he minds the things of the Spirit. So we don't emphasize this truth, I think, because we have developed a whole new class of people that the Bible doesn't recognize. This new class that we have developed are those who are saved, but they're just not living for God right now. You ever heard that? I hear that all the time. Brother, they're saved, but they're just not living for God right now. They're saved, but they're just not living right. They did it one time, but they're not right now. They've returned to be controlled by the flesh. And I'm guessing that helps us feel better about them, gives us some sort of hope for them, but in reality, it's not helpful. Paul says that the only way that you know that you're truly saved is that you have the Spirit of God in you. And that Spirit of God is moving you and directing you in an entirely different, new direction. Say amen. Let me ask you a question. What if you come tomorrow and you find out that I have left my wife, I have left my children, I've run off with some other person, left the ministry, left my wife with nothing, just took off? Should you have any assurance for me that I'm saved? Regardless of what I've done previously, I've preached the gospel for over 20 years. Now, that's not saying I wouldn't be saved. I'm saying that there ain't no assurance. Say amen. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't allow me to get away with that. Say amen. Say amen. We all sin, don't we? But if you're a child of God, you don't get away with it. We all make missteps, but we, as a child of God, we don't get away with it. The Lord brings us back. So how do I know that I belong to God? Well, because of the presence of God that indicates that my salvation is a genuine salvation. Amen? Number two, the presence of God, or the presence of the Spirit, not only indicates that my salvation is genuine, but the presence of the Spirit imputes Christ's righteousness to us. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Salvation in Christ does not, in the present reality of things, save our physical bodies. Does it? Let me give you a statistic. Up to today, every believer that has been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, besides those who are living today, has died. Amen? Every one of them. And if God tarries His coming, we're going to die too. Now, we like to pretty up death so it doesn't look as bad as it really is. I think we do that because we don't want to think about it. You know, funeral homes are beautiful buildings with well-manicured lawns. You just like to, well, that's a nice place. Look how pretty it is. Graveyards are kept tidy and they're covered with beautiful flowers. And when we go to a funeral, we don't even say they died anymore. We say, well, they've passed on. We try to sterilize death so we don't have to be reminded of the reality of our own death that is impending and the reason for death in the first place. Now, don't get me wrong. I know none of us deny that we're not going to die. We just don't think we're next in line. Say amen. We think we're pretty far back in line. There's a lot of folks ahead of us. But you remember way back in the garden, God told Adam that if he ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, what would happen? He would die. He ate. And he didn't die. Right? Well, he died spiritually, and he began the process of dying physically. And he started dying, and all of us have been dying ever since. And we're here this morning in this church. We're not dead, but I'm here to tell you something. We are all dying. Some of you are young and you don't get it yet. Some of you are older and you say, you're right. Is it not true that our bodies are growing not stronger, they're growing weaker? Our bodies aren't getting better. They're getting worse. That's why your insurance is so high the older you get. You're not getting better, you're getting worse. And we'll continue to get worse until we what? Pass on. Until we die. And what is the reason why we die? Sin. Sin is the reason for our death. Adam's sin and our own sin. But when God saves us, He doesn't save our body from the results of sin. So Paul says, in this dead body, in this dying body, in this decaying body, God has given us spiritual life. In weakening bodies, the Spirit of God is growing spiritual life. So as we get older and weaker and more frail physically, that doesn't happen spiritually. Say amen. The older we get, our bodies get weaker, but the older we get, the Spirit of God grows stronger. You with me? Our spiritual life is growing while our bodies are dying. The spirit that indwells the believer is life, not death. There is no weakness in the spirit. And the reason that this is true is because our spiritual life is not from us, it's from Christ. Spiritual life comes from what? Does it say here? Because of what? Righteousness. Now that's not your righteousness. Say amen. That's the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us or applied on our behalf. So we have in us life, the Spirit, and righteousness that sin, death, and Satan cannot touch. So when this body dies, that death doesn't affect our spirits because they are alive. There is no righteousness in what our dying bodies can produce, only in what Jesus has done that is given to us through the life of the Spirit that is in us. And the only way that you can have any assurance that you will enter into heaven when you die is that you have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. You see, it's not good enough that you have had your sins forgiven. You have no righteousness. All your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. You have none, except that, yes, you do. You have the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to you through the life given by the Spirit. So in salvation, God has given us the life of the Spirit, and we have been given the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, I belong to God because I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit indicates that my salvation is genuine, and it imputes to me Christ's righteousness that makes me fit for glory in the future. Now, number three. The presence of the Spirit ensures our bodily resurrection. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And all God's people said, glory! These bodies of ours that are quickly wearing out, that parts got to get replaced, you got to take stuff out, you got to put stuff back in. Some stuff apparently you don't need. Sort of like when I put something together, I got extra parts. Apparently there was an appendix and a gallbladder that we just didn't need. They're quickly wearing out and they are going to die. And we will either be buried in a ground or a mausoleum or we'll be cremated. But listen, bodies that are buried, embalmed, buried, put in a mausoleum, cremated and put in an urn, those bodies aren't finished just quite yet. Say amen. The Spirit that is in us provides us a hope that our spirit that goes on to be in the presence of the Lord will one day be reunited with this body. Say amen. That bodies that have been indwelt by the Spirit of God don't stay in the grave. They don't stay in the mausoleum. They don't stay in an urn. They are raised one day, glorified, and reunited with spirit and soul to live in the presence of Almighty God for eternity. And the same Spirit of God that was in Jesus that raised him from the dead is the same Spirit of God that indwells you right now. And if that Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, He will also raise our mortal bodies as well. When that day comes, our bodies will receive a glorification where they are changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible, from sinful to sinless. Our bodies are going to experience the life-giving, wonderful work of the Spirit as well. Quicken, life-giving. Our mortal bodies will be quickened, given life. Now, here's the deal. Some people say, well, we're going to get entirely new bodies. They're not going to be these bodies. They're going to be new bodies. Different bodies. Well, why is there going to be a resurrection then? Just leave these bodies in the ground and give me a new one. But Paul said it will be these mortal bodies that are raised from the dead. Say amen. Why would these bodies have to come out of the grave if they're not going to be glorified and reunited with my soul and spirit that I'm going to get some new body? No, it's these mortal bodies that are going to be quickened, made alive by His Spirit that dwells in us. And the guarantee of a future resurrection day is that the Spirit of God dwells in you right now. Listen, if the Spirit of God is not controlling you now and directing you now, you have no genuine salvation. Say amen. You have no hope of eternity. You have no righteousness or life if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you right now. Or in other words, if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you right now, you don't belong to God. And if you don't belong to God, you haven't been saved, you have no life or righteousness, and you have no home in heaven with Him. That you belong to Him now, that you belong to Him when you die, and that you belong to Him for eternity, that's what you want. For us to say as believers, this is it, ready? I'm His. That's our testimony. I'm His. I belong to God. How do I know? His Spirit lives in me, causing me to mind the things of the Spirit. It is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. This will probably come as a shock to some of you, but Bob has a friend. Bob's friend, he told me, made this statement. I didn't get the full statement, but I sort of got it theologically correct anyway. If there was such a thing as reincarnation, you understand what reincarnation is? Coming back as something else? If there was such a thing as reincarnation, he said, I would want to come back as Bob's dog. You know why he said that? Because Bob's dogs are well taken care of. If you were a dog, it would be a good thing to be Bob's dog. Right? To belong to Bob as a dog would be a good thing. But I'm here to tell you, believer, there's something far better than belonging to Bob as his dog. We belong to God. And may we rejoice in the fact that I'm His. And I belong to Him. And He has saved me. And He has given me life. And He has given me His righteousness. And He is going to raise me one day. glorify my body and I'm going to live with Him for eternity because I'm His. How do I know I'm His? How do I know I belong to Him? I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you something, folks, today. There's nothing better in this world or the next world to come than to know you belong to God. Let's pray.